We were born with our backs turned towards God, and repentance is a rightable turn, to turn your back from being with your back against God and turning to God and coming to God and saying, Lord Jesus, won't you come into my heart? Won't you cleanse me? And my friend, it's as simple as that, to turn to God, turn away from your sin and to turn to God and let the Lord Jesus come into your heart and into your life.
Hello, and welcome to Living God's Way, coming to you from the Germantown Christian Assembly in the Mount Airy section of Philadelphia. In an age when many are abandoning Christian values, Pastor Brian Grant's expository preaching from the timeless Word of God will remind us that the best way to live is to live God's way.
Last week, we listened as Pastor Brian Grant continued his current series on the Book of the Acts by describing for us the signs that attended the coming of the Holy Spirit on the day of Pentecost. We learned what that means for us as members of the body of Christ, the church, and what it means to us as individual believers. Now, we are about to hear in this week's message, what are the marks of a healthy church, a church fit and empowered to carry out Christ's mission in this world? Here's Pastor Grant.
A man stopped at a gas station to fill his tank and saw a couple men working alongside the road. Now, what was strange about this work crew is that one man would dig a hole, and coming right behind him was another man filling up the hole that was just dug. And so the man, he by the gas station, as he pumped his gas, once he was finished, he went over to them and he said, hey guys, what's going on here? One of you is digging a hole and the other guy is coming to fill it up. One of the guys said, you don't understand. We work for the government. So the man said, I know you work for the government, but aren't you wasting the people's money? The man says, you don't understand. He says, normally there are three of us. It's usually Sam, Jesse, and this other guy here. Sam, Jesse, and me. It's me, it's Sam, it's Jesse. But guess what? Sam is sick today. You see, what usually happens is that I will dig, Sam plants a tree, and Jesse comes to fill up the hole. He said, just because Sam is sick and he can't put in the tree, it doesn't mean that I and Jesse, we can't do our job. These guys had completely missed the essence of what they were doing. And the sad thing is that there are so many Christians who miss the essence of what God is doing. Many of us miss the essence of what is the purpose of the Holy Spirit. And we fail to realize that what God is up to, the reason why He has implanted, why He has put His Holy Spirit within us, is that He intends to make a dramatic impact on our lives and to help us to make a dramatic impact on our community. You know, A.W. Tozer said, sadly, that this Holy Spirit is often so neglected in churches. He said that if the Holy Spirit was withdrawn from many churches today, 95% of what we do would still go on, and no one would notice He's missing. I pray this is not true at GCA. Because nothing can be accomplished without the power of the Spirit of God. And so today, we're continuing on our series, Pentecostal Power, Lessons from the Early Church. I want to ask the question, what does a healthy church look like? Have you ever put together a jigsaw puzzle? Now, if you've put together a jigsaw puzzle, you remember that what do you do first? The first thing you do is you get the box and you what? You look at the picture. You need to see what exactly it is that you're trying to put together. And so this morning, as we discuss what does a healthy church look like, what I want us to do is to look at the picture. I want us to go back to the passage that was read in our hearing, and I want us to take a look at the early church, because last week, you remember, we discussed that in Acts chapter 2, the Holy Spirit came and indwelt the church, baptized the church, and that the Christian church actually began on the day of Pentecost in Acts of the Apostles chapter 2. So here we are in Acts of the Apostles chapter 2 at the very beginning of the church as we try to take a look at that picture of what the church looked like to help ourselves understand what should a healthy church look like. Today I'm talking about, my theme is marks of a healthy church. And in the next 35 minutes or so, I want to share with you 7 priorities of a healthy church. Now, obviously, I'm going to keep moving along if I'm going to give you 7 priorities. So I'm going to have on my running shoe. Amen? Number one, a healthy church is passionate about sharing the gospel. A healthy church is passionate about sharing the gospel. The church began in Acts chapter 2, and immediately the early believers were using every opportunity to share the gospel. In the video we just saw, here we saw the early church, the Christians depicted there was Peter and John, and there we saw them before the religious leaders, and at great risk, they were sharing the gospel. And they were making it clear that this Jesus, whom they had crucified, had now been resurrected by his Father. They were using every opportunity. And as you go through the book of the Acts, you find that the early disciples, whether it was at a street corner, whether it was before the king, whether it was before the great philosophers at Mars Hill, they used the opportunity to share the gospel. Any church, and I'm going to say this without any doubt in my mind, without any worry about contradiction, I'm going to tell you clearly that any church that does not make the gospel a priority is not a healthy church. They may have great programs, they may have wonderful facilities, they may have all their private jets, but if there is no emphasis on the gospel, they have missed their primary mission. Now, what is the gospel? You know, there are people who go to church. Sadly, there are people who go to church and they have no idea what the gospel is. Sadly, do you know you can go to many churches all over Philadelphia and never, ever hear the gospel? The gospel comes from a root word which means good news. Good news. And I'm so glad as a minister of the gospel that I have good news. In a world that's so full of bad news, I have some good news. And this morning, if you're here and you don't know Jesus Christ as your Savior, I have some incredible news for you. I have news. The news is, here is the late breaking news. Jesus Christ wants to save you. 1 Corinthians chapter 15, verses 2 to 5, the word of God says, by this gospel you are, what is that word? Saved. Oh, I'm thanking God that this gospel has the power to save the vilest sinner. My friend, it doesn't matter what your history is. It doesn't matter what you have been up to in the past. The good news is that Jesus Christ, by the power of this gospel, can save your soul. He can cleanse all your sins. He says, by this gospel, you are saved if you hold the word of God which I have preached. And then he goes on, otherwise you have believed in vain. For what I received, I pass on to you. And here he says, these are the things of first importance. One, that Christ what? Died. Say it. Christ what? Died what? For our sins. Jesus Christ died for our sins. That includes you. Jesus Christ died for your sins. Isn't this good news? You see, God is love. Everybody knows that. God is love. But God is also just. So you have a holy God who is also a just God, but he's a loving God. A loving God wants to save everybody, but a just God must punish sin. And what did God do? He punished his son, Jesus Christ. God the Son came down to earth so that he could take the punishment that your sin, sir, madam, Jesus came so he could take the punishment that your sin and my sin deserved. So this morning we are not saved because God winked at our sin, because God decided he would give us a pass. No, we are saved because Christ died for our sins. But not only does the gospel include the fact that Jesus Christ died for our sin, but it says that he was buried. Yes, he took all our sins away. And then he was raised again the third day, according to the scriptures, and he was seen. Hallelujah. I'm thanking God that I'm not worshiping a dead Jesus. You know, folks all over the world, they have these people that they revere. Cheryl and I, we were in Vietnam some years ago, and they took us to the mausoleum for Chairman Ho Chi Minh. And so here he was, and they told us how specially treated he is. They say every month Ho Chi Minh has a special medical examination. And they were just impressing me and my dear wife about how important he is. He gets a medical examination, and once a year Ho Chi Minh is flown to Russia for a full physical exam. But he's dead. I am not impressed. I am impressed by a God, a Jesus who died for my sin. I am impressed by a Jesus who is no longer in the tomb because the grave could not hold him. I am impressed by a Savior who is alive. And I want to ask you, my friend, do you know him? Young person, older person, do you know this Jesus? Is he your Savior? The gospel is Christ died for our sin. And I want you to know he died for your sin. And if you are here this morning and you leave here without knowing this Jesus as your Savior, don't blame anyone. Because Jesus and the Spirit of God is telling you right now that you are right. You're only a step from salvation. The song says, only a step to Jesus. So why not take it now? And my friend, that's the question I'm going to ask you this morning. It's only a step to Jesus. And I'm going to ask you as we come towards the end, I'm going to ask some of you young people and old ones, some of you may be in church, you may be church members, but you have never taken the step to Jesus. And we are praying by the Spirit of God that this morning would be your morning when you would take that step to Jesus.
We invite you to join us each Sunday at 10:45 a.m. as we go through a sermon series based on the book of Acts. This series is entitled Pentecostal Power, Lessons from the Early Church. The messages coincide with the television series AD on NBC. These studies will explore the epic journey of the first followers of Christ who, through the power given at Pentecost, changed the world. Come and discover how these lessons learned from the early church can change our lives today. For further information, please call our church office at 215-242-5550. That's 215-242-5550. And now back to Pastor Grant for the conclusion of today's message.
Why is the gospel such good news? Because it tells you how you can receive God's salvation. And oh, I'm so glad that I have received his salvation. Do I have another witness in the house who is glad that you have received his salvation? You say, Brother Brian, how can I receive this salvation? It's right here in our text, in Acts of the Apostles, chapter 2, verses 37 and 38. As the Peter preached the gospel that particular day, the people said to the apostle, they were cut to the heart. The Spirit of God convicted them and cut them to the heart. And I believe right now the Spirit of God is convicting some of you, and He's pointing out to you that you are a sinner and that you need God's salvation. You are cut to the heart. The problem is sometimes people are cut to the heart and they run outside and they don't do what this crowd did. Here's what they said. What should we do? The Apostle Peter said to them, repent. 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 What is repentance? Repentance is turning to God. You know, we were all born with our backs turned towards God. We were born with our backs turned towards God. And repentance is a right about turn, to turn your back from being with your back against God and turning to God and coming to God and saying, Lord Jesus, won't you come into my heart? Won't you cleanse me? And my friend, it's as simple as that, to turn to God, turn away from your sin and to turn to God and let the Lord Jesus come into your heart and into your life. The Apostle Paul, he says in the book of Romans, he said, I am not ashamed of the gospel of Christ, for it is the power of God unto salvation to everyone who believes. Have you believed? Come on, sir. Have you believed? Young lady, older person, the apostle says, this gospel is the power of God unto salvation to anyone who believes. It's to anyone and everyone. And I'm so glad that this good news includes everybody. There's not one person here today that if you come to God, He will turn you away. He will save you. He will change you. Will you let Him? But secondly, a healthy church not only emphasizes and is not only passionate about sharing the gospel, a healthy church practices believers' baptism. And look at what happens here in Acts of the Apostle, chapter 2, verse 41. Those who accepted His message were baptized. God expects, now I don't want you to miss this, God expects that once a person accepts the Lord as their Savior, they would seek to be baptized. I don't want you to miss that. Anyone who believes, accepts the Lord as their Savior. There, if you notice, there was no delay. They got saved and they were baptized. It's a natural progression. Am I speaking to someone here this morning who knows the Lord Jesus Christ as your Savior and you have not been baptized? I'm going to urge you, my friend, because you see, this message about marks of a healthy church is really also marks of a healthy Christian. I don't want you to miss that, because the healthy church is only as healthy as the folks on the pew. I want to ask you, because I suspect right here at GCA, there are a whole lot of folks who come here every Sunday morning and they are saved, but they have never been baptized. God expects that once you are saved, you will move forward to get baptized. But what does baptism signify? No. You saw the video. And you saw that being a Christian was no joke. You saw that being a Christian put your life at risk. Did you get that sense? And those of us who have been coming and have gone through the series, as we finished the Gospel of Matthew, we just finished the Gospel of Matthew 3 or 4 weeks ago, and then we immediately jumped into the book of Acts. So we have the whole flavor, and we're coming to realize that what's going on here in the Gospel, in the book of the Acts of the Apostles, is that the Roman rulers and the religious rulers, they really want every Christian dead. Can you imagine what it meant, therefore, to be baptized? The message of the gospel is preached. And these folks realize that Christians are being killed. And yet, 3,000 are willing to respond to say, I want to join forces with Jesus. I want Jesus to save me. 3,000. But guess what? They don't want to be secret disciples. They want it known. It's like the song says, they're saying, I have decided to follow Jesus. No turning back. No turning back. And they're saying, listen, I want to be baptized. I want to make a public statement that I belong to Jesus. Part of what baptism is, you better believe it, is a public statement that you're saying, I belong to Jesus. But shouldn't that challenge us as we think about the commitment these early Christians were making in a time that to stand for Jesus meant your life might be snuffed out? These 3,000 were willing to say, I am one of his. I trust this morning that there's somebody here like those 3,000, that very first gospel message that was preached. The first gospel message, 3,000 people responded for salvation. And this morning we're trusting you're going to be one of those who will say yes to Jesus. You see, baptism is a public statement, and what you're doing by baptism, you are identifying with the Lord Jesus in his death, his burial, and his resurrection. You see, when your foot touches the water, it speaks of death. When they put you under the water, it speaks of burial. But if you notice, they don't leave them under the water, because that would be a funeral. But they lift them out of the water. That speaks of what? Resurrection. We are identifying in his death, in his burial, and his resurrection. But you know, this is believers' baptism. Only those who are believers can be baptized. And that's why Leroy asked them a couple of questions. But trust me, we've already asked them a whole lot of questions before they got to the water. Only believers are to be baptized. The Bible does not teach infant baptism. I hope you realize that. And it is clear here. It says those who what? Accepted his message, were baptized. The only folks who are to be baptized are the folks who are saved, the people who have received his message. So if you were baptized before, and one of the gentlemen here was baptized before, he was sprinkled before, and so he's being baptized. He was baptized as a little child, and we helped him to realize that being baptized as a little child doesn't do you any good. And for those of you who are, some of you say, I wasn't baptized as an infant. I was actually baptized just like that. But I wasn't saved. Well, you weren't baptized. You really only had a public bath. If you went through this process before you got saved, you were not baptized. You had a public bath. You went in a dry sinner and you came up a wet sinner. Only believers can be baptized.
Thanks for tuning in today. We trust this was a real encouragement to you. If you made a decision for Christ today, or if we can be of any spiritual encouragement, please contact us. Counselors are available to respond to your questions and to send you resources that will help in your walk with Christ. You can reach us weekdays at 215-242-5550. That's 215-242-5550, or by visiting our website, livinggodsway.org. That's livinggodsway.org.
Living God's Way is the broadcast ministry of the Germantown Christian Assembly, located at 610 East Mount Pleasant Avenue in Philadelphia, Pennsylvania. We invite you to join us for worship each Sunday at 10:45 a.m. and for Tuesday night community connections every Tuesday at 6 p.m. And now, on behalf of Pastor Brian Grant, Steve Washington, and our entire church family, this is Taylor Noble reminding you to tune in same time next week for another edition of Living God's Way.